You do not deny the fact that you were messing around with the plaintiff's car.
Correct.
This troublemaker isn't so cocky now.
What do you need to know?
Did you think we schlepped you all the way here from Minnesota so that you could stand there and look at me like an idiot?
And the truth remains to be seen.
Somebody tapped a tire on his car because they wanted to set off the alarm.
Who was the somebody?
Wasn't sure who.
You have a video.
I do.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. 21-year-old Jordan Johnson is suing 20-year-old Dalton Henschy for damaging his car by intentionally kicking it.
Order. All rise. It's case number 481 on the calendar, matter of Johnson versus Henschy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Gentlemen, have a seat.
Mr. Johnson, is your claim that the defendant, who you knew from high school, vandalized your car? That's your claim.
Yep.
Just give me the date that this happened.
I believe it was around September.
Not around. You were coming to court. The first thing in a court, what you have to know is the date that you're complaining about.
September 15th, 2014.
The last part of your statement is mumbled. September 15th.
2014.
Now, then I'm going to go to Mr. Henschy. Because, Mr. Henschy, you do not deny the fact that you were, according to you, messing around with the plaintiff's car on September 15th, right?
Correct.
So I want you to tell me, Mr. Henschy, how you know him.
I know Jordan through high school, and he works at the Jake's Pizzas just down the road from where we hang out at, in the parking lot in Elberly.
And?
What do you need to know?
What do I need to know? What do you think you're doing here? I mean, are you here for an ear exam, to have your teeth cleaned? What do you think you're doing here? When you all came here today, did you think that this was going to be fun and games? Not. Where do you come from?
Where do I come from?
Yeah.
I come from Minnesota.
Minnesota?
Yes.
All these people come from Minnesota?
No.
Where do you come from?
Minnesota.
Where do you come from?
Minnesota.
Where do you come from?
Minnesota.
Well, I know I don't come from Minnesota, but the people that you came with all come from Minnesota.
Okay.
Right? Did you think we schlepped you all the way here from Minnesota, put you up in a hotel last night, fed you dinner, fed you breakfast, brought you to the court by cab this morning so that you could stand there and look at me like an idiot? Did you think it was going to be fun? You think you were going to get out of the Minnesota cold by coming to California? Is that what you thought? Think again. September 15th, 2014. Let's go.
Well, there's a block party on Broadway, so me and five other guys went up there. About a block away is Jake's Pizza, so we swung in there. A buddy of ours is talking to a girl that was working there.
Listen, you may be able to mumble and get away with that with your mother. Here, when we've schlepped you here at a substantial cost, I don't want any mumbling. Do you understand? Do you hear how clearly I'm speaking? You don't have any question about what I'm saying, right?
No.
Good. That's what I expect from you. For all the money it cost us to bring you here. Go!
So from Jake's Pizza, we left, went in the alley. We were walking by. They decided they want to pull a little prank. And somebody tapped a tire on his car because they wanted to set off the alarm.
Somebody. Who was the somebody?
Wasn't sure who. He believes that it was me. It wasn't.
What did you do?
I was walking somebody on by.
Somebody kicked a tire. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, there's a group of six of us. And we were walking through. I stopped back, and there's a couple of us fumbling with the car, trying to set off the car alarm.
Somebody. A couple of us?
Yes.
A couple of us. So now we're from, there's one person who kicked the tire. Now there were a couple of them around. So you were trying to do something with the tire, too, as well as your friends.
I was walking on by. I didn't touch the car.
You didn't touch the car. I'd like you to get down. What's your name?
Dylan.
Good. Make believe Dylan is the car. I want you to get down and show me what your friend was doing to the car. Make believe he's the car. Dylan, you're going to play a car. Get down and show me what he was doing with the car.
Do you want me to kick him?
I want you to get down and show me. You said he was playing with the car.
You want him to get on all fours and then...
I want you to get on all fours. If that's what he was doing, get on all fours and show me what he was doing to the car.
Okay. But you're going to be a car, so...
Yeah, show me what he was doing. Oh, so he wasn't on all fours.
Well, he's not a car, but...
What?
He's not a car, but...
No, he is the car. Dylan is the car. Today, Dylan is the car. So what you're saying is one person, not you, kicked the car. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay. And the one person who's not you that kicked the car, you don't know who that was.
I do not.
You do not. And these were the six people that you were hanging around with at the block party. So you don't know who it was that kicked the car.
I do not.
You do not. And did the alarm go off on the car?
Did not.
Did not. Oh, so this was a stupid kicker. Now, who identified the car as having belonged to Mr. Johnson?
Think.
No, no, don't think. Don't think. Just remember. Who was the one who identified Mr. Johnson's car to the group?
Dylan.
Dylan?
Because he works with them.
Dylan. Is that you? Dylan. Up. Up! Now you're no longer a car. Now you're a witness. Get your hands off the table. Stand up, wipe the smile off your face, because it's not going to be any more pleasant for you than it was for Mr. Henchy. Mr. Henchy says that you identified Mr. Johnson's car for this moronic group to try to vandalize by kicking the car and setting off the alarm. Is Mr. Henchy telling me the truth?
Yes.
And so you identified the car?
Yes.
When you identified the car, I'd like to know what you said.
He asked whose car it was, and I said it was Jordan's.
Now, unless you were looking for Mr. Johnson's car, why would he say whose car is that? You're with a group of people. You're having a block party. You see this car. It's not a fuchsia pink car. It's not a yellow car. It's not anything unusual. Did you go there looking for his car? No, no. Look at me. Do you got my question? Mm-hmm. Did you go there looking for his car?
No.
What did you go to that area looking for?
We went to the pizza place.
And when you went to the pizza place, you saw him inside?
Yes.
Because he was?
Working.
Working. As opposed to you, who were just being morons. So he was working. Now, you have a video.
Yep, I do.
And the video was probably from a surveillance camera?
Yep, right in the alley.
Not a yep. Try a yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Minnesota?
Sorry.
Yes.
Yes, Your Honor.
Very good. Officer Byrd will take the video, pop it into my machine, give me an opportunity to take a look at it. Are you sick?
I smoke. I got a little bit of smoke.
What?
I got a smoker's cough a little bit.
Well, let's watch that again, Officer Byrd.
Sure.
Thanks. Did you see a kick? Yep, there it is. All right, who's the idiot with the white?
That'd be Tanner. He was with their group.
Why didn't you sue him?
Because his kick didn't do anything to my car. It was his kick in the initial of the, or right in the beginning of the video.
Who was wearing the white thing?
That's Tanner. But right after he shakes the car, you can see Mr. Henchy here turn around and, like, mule kick the car. And my witness here was outside smoking a cigarette.
I'm going to see it again.
Well, he shakes it right there, and then right after he turns around and kicks.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, there he is. Yep. That would be you, Mr. Henchy. Okay. Now, let me tell you, you probably didn't cause most of the damage. Probably another moron who did that. And I don't know where that moron is. Do you know where that moron is?
No, ma'am.
Do you know where the moron is? He didn't want to come. He wanted to stay in Minnesota, right?
Correct.
Probably a very good idea. But it doesn't make any difference whether he caused more of damage than you did. You participated. Participated. How much did it cost to fix your car?
$480.72.
Judgment for the plaintiff. Thank you. That's all.
Bodies are excused. You may step out.
Kid obviously kicked my car.
You can't exactly see that it was me.
And I'm glad it's getting fixed.
I didn't kick it.
I'm obviously doing better in life than he is.
Don't get caught.
So I'm not walking around kicking cars for no reason.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Simmons versus Nelson. Step forward.
Carmen Simmons is suing her husband's former friend, Clay Nelson, for the return of her cedar chest and harassment.
Where's the cedar chest, Mr. Nelson?
It's in my house.
You have a picture of it?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to see it.
This is the actual one. This is one I found online of what it looks like. I haven't had it since 2013.
Is this what the cedar chest looked like before you and the plaintiff's husband worked on it?
I believe it had straps and stuff put on it. It had the straps on it there. Yes, I believe it does look like that.
So this is what it was like when it was brought to your house.
Yes, ma'am.
When the plaintiff's husband and you started to work on it as sort of a hobby project.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, this is what I gather this case is about, and then I'm going to resolve it relatively quickly.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Mr. Simmons arrived at 8 o'clock instead of 6 o'clock.
Yes, ma'am.
And therefore, you did not give him the chest.
No, ma'am.
You are out of your mind.
And later today...
How much money, Miss Reimer, did you return to Mr. Hauer?
None.
You have to. You have to. Period. The end. Easy.
Real cases. Real people. Judge Judy. Carmen Simmons says her husband's former friend, Clay Nelson, owes for the return of a cedar chest and harassment. Clay is countersuing, also for harassment.
This cedar chest belongs to the plaintiff. Her husband was a friend of yours, a buddy of yours.
Yes, ma'am.
You the husband?
Yes.
You and the plaintiff's husband were supposed to be working on this project.
Yes, ma'am.
There was a dispute about it. You wanted some money for your work in making it fresh and a new piece.
Yes, ma'am.
So you all went to mediation. Is that right?
That's correct.
When did you go to mediation?
It was August 20th, 2014.
And, Mr. Nelson, do you have a copy of the mediation agreement that you entered into?
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to see it.
I have
it.
Do
you have it?
I do.
And I'd like to see it. All right, so I'm going to read this agreement. This agreement says that you agreed to pay Mr. Nelson full amount of $200 for his participation. At the end of the final payment, the parties will arrange a pickup of the refurbished chest through a third party. The parties agree to have no future contact, and that includes in-person, phone, text, social media, or any third-party harassment. Mr. Simmons will bring a third-party person of his choosing to pick up the chest at Mr. Nelson's property on December 4th at 6 p.m. Mr. Nelson will set the chest outside the house by the mailbox. Okay. Now, Mr. Nelson.
Yes, ma'am.
I've read your answer.
Okay.
And your answer suggests, in plain English, which is my primary language, that Mr. Simmons made payments pursuant to this agreement. However, on December 4th, according to your answer, Mr. Simmons arrived at 8 o'clock instead of 6 o'clock.
Yes, ma'am.
And therefore, you did not give him the chest.
No, ma'am.
You are out of your mind. You are out crazy of your mind. Just a second. Do I look like I'm needing help from you?
No, ma'am. Not at all.
Vicious? Voided the spirit of the mediation agreement? They arrived with the final payment? You said, too late. That's if I agree with you. I'm accepting that they arrived at 8 o'clock, 2 hours past what this says. They're coming to get the chest. And you're not going to get your last payment. How about that? Because you're a nut.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And later today...
You chose to put him out in the middle of his lease. In the middle of... Yes, you did. You have to give him back his money. You put him out. You took his money. You can't keep his money and not let him live there. What's wrong with you?
Real cases. Real people. Judge Judy. Carmen Simmons says her husband's former friend, Clay Nelson, owes for the return of a cedar chest and harassment. Clay is countersuing, also for harassment.
Now, you will go with a marshal. You. We will prepare an order. The chest better be perfect.
No problem.
Now, I will get to your counterclaim. Your counterclaim says two things. First of all, that she frightened your tenants when she came to your house after you refused to give her the chest. It's part of the harassment. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't care.
Okay.
The next part of your claim I may have to care about, because you say that she slashed the tires on your truck car. I don't know what it was.
I mean, it wasn't like that.
Well, what was it like?
When we were having the case, she came over one time with a gun and threatened.
I don't care.
Okay,
listen,
that's fine.
I'm not going back any further than the mediation.
That's fine.
Mediation.
Right.
Agreement. Order. Now, this order was signed August 20th. When is it that you allege she slashed your tires?
I think it was 2 days before the TPO was put on me.
2 days before?
The temporary call restraint was put on me.
What also, month?
January about 15th, ma'am.
This January?
On the 14th of the last year, ma'am.
Within 5 days, get a marshal, go pick up your chest.
No problem.
Your counterclaim's dismissed.
Can you address my harassment claim?
No.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
I'm glad I'm getting my chest back.
He can't follow the rules. He can't pay when he's supposed to, and that's all it is.
I didn't want anything to do with him anymore. And I don't think he liked that.
I never wanted him in my life.
But it's over.
The bulldog wife took up for him, and that's good.
And now, the next case.
All parties in a matter of Hauer versus Reimer. Step forward.
Michael Hauer is suing his former landlord, Stephanie Reimer, for the return of rent and security deposit, and for a false restraining order.
This is going to be a relatively easy case, I think. Mr. Hauer, you rented a room from the defendant.
Correct.
On what date did you move in?
October 5th, 2014.
And on what date did you move out?
October 22nd, I was evicted.
In the same month that you moved in?
Correct.
And how much rent had you given the defendant?
Gave her $550 for 1 month's rent and $300 deposit.
$850. Is that how much Mr. Hauer gave you, Ms. Reimer?
Yes.
And did you, in fact, either evict him or file a restraining order against him during the month of October?
Yes.
Did you do both?
I tried to evict him. I was told it was a civil matter.
So you got a restraining order?
They suggested the police...
I don't care what they suggested. The answer is you got a restraining order.
I did get a restraining order.
And as a result of that restraining order, he was de facto evicted?
Yes.
And were any criminal charges, Mr. Hauer, ever brought against you?
Never.
Were you ever arrested for anything?
No.
How much money, Ms. Reimer, did you return to Mr. Hauer?
None.
You have to. You have to. Period. The end. Easy.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Now, he's only suing for $575, which is, I assume, he prorated the rent when he was living there. Is that right?
A half month's rent.
For a half month's rent. I would have given you the whole thing.
Should have done for more.
Listen to me very carefully. You don't like a tenant. That's your prerogative. Once somebody has paid you rent, I don't care if they play music too loud, and if the neighbors complain, and if you think he's a nut, that's all in here and all irrelevant. 100% irrelevant. He is your tenant, for good or bad. You were told, because he was playing music too loud, he says not, maybe he's hard of hearing, whatever. But the neighbors were complaining, police came, told him to make the music lower, he didn't make the music lower. He got to be, according to you, I think the words that you used was not a good fit. Well, a not a good fit requires an eviction notice. You chose to put him out in the middle of his lease. In the middle of... Yes, you did. You have to give him back his money. You put him out. You took his money. You can't keep his money and not let him live there. What's wrong with you? Judgment for the
damages?
Plaintiff in the amount of $575. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
Some get clever.
It's the story. I'm sticking to it.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Others get hostile.
I'm going to tell you what.
Judge Judy gets the last word.
They don't keep me here because I'm gorgeous. They keep me here because I'm smart.
Right when she found out the neighbors didn't care for me because of the music that I played.
It was definitely a Jekyll and Hyde.
That bothered them and that made her want to throw me out.
He yells at himself.
She moved all my stuff out of the apartment illegally and would not let me back in the apartment.
Broke the window, cut open the screen.
Just be wise on who you move in with.
He's a nice guy when he's straight.
Don't let them act like they're your parents and tell you what to do all the time.
He starts doing street drugs and drinking alcohol. And that's when he gets wacky.
She threw me out.